Oh, Parshas Yitro. Okay. So let's see. So this week's Parsha is speaking about Matan Torah. It's very interesting that the Parsha is called after the first Ger that came to Klal Yisrael. Mm. And it's also interesting that his name was Yitro because, right, he was Yetzer, as she says, we added a parasha in the Torah. So the first time we have the experience of a ger coming to Klal Yisrael happens to be Moshe's father-in-law. And he now, after Matan Torah, it's after Yom Kippur, he adds a parasha in the Torah. And the whole parasha is not in order. Right? It starts with him, like we see, Vayishma Yitro. And Yitro heard. Kohen Midian, the Kohen Midian, Chotzen Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe. Et kol asher asah Elokim leMoshe v'Yisrael, all which God did to Moshe and his Jewish people, ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael m'Mitzrayim, he took them out of Egypt. Right? So Rashi says, what was Gaim coming out of Egypt? Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchamas Amalek. So from previous weeks, if you understand what we're talking about, so the final destruction of the Ra in the world was Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek, which we didn't finish with. Yeshua was Machlish Amalek, right? Made them weaker, but Amalek was still in the world, and there was still what to do in the Midbar to remove the Ra in the world. That was the Tachlis of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Now we're coming to Har Sinai. So Yitro heard these things. And
Who did he hear from?
The whole world knew about it.
Okay.
It was a public thing. The whole world knew about it. It was a known thing. Everyone heard Kriyas Yamsuf. Rashi brings in previous parashas that the waters in all the world, Kriyas Yamsuf, split at that moment. The whole world knew about Kriyas Yamsuf. Milchemes Amalek. I mean, these were known things. So maybe Milchemes Amalek, the whole world didn't know about, but he heard. I mean, Yitro wasn't so far away. Mm-hmm. He heard about it.
Shouldn't have been recorded elsewhere besides the Bible.
Alright. Okay, so now we have to understand. So now what does Yitro do? Yitro goes along and he brings Tzipora, Eshet Moshe, right? Because Moshe left Tzipora and her two children with her, right?
Right?
So he's bringing all the family back to Moshe, right? So that's very interesting. Our introduction to Matan Torah is what? Yitro brings back the family, Moshe's family, back to him. They're still in the Midbar, still a dangerous place, right? Why just wait till they come to Eretz Yisrael and then bring her back? No, bring her back. I mean, the truth, they were 40 years there. They shouldn't have been 40 years. They should have been like, Moshe Rabbeinu should have taken them to Eretz Yisrael. Matan Torah, straight into Eretz Yisrael, right? Okay. Now, we have to remember something. Korban Pesach, we explained, was what? A family offering. Where is Moshe's family? Not there. Kabbalah Satera, we were told, separate from your wives. Correct?
For 3 days.
For 3 days, right before Matan Torah. And then everyone else was told to go back to their wives. God said to Moshe, Ata Omedi Madi, you stay with me. And then we have Aaron and Miriam saying, how can you do that? And they got, it was Lashon Hara. And Kadosh Baruch Hu answered, Moshe is not going to appear to anyone else. Pe'el pe'a da bebo. I'm speaking in mouth to mouth, right? He has clear, there's a clear discussion between me and Moshe. So now, another question. Here we have in Chumash, we're going to see that when, after Yitro comes along, right? After Matan Torah, after on Vav Sivan, and then Shiras HaLuchas, the breaking of the Luchas, which actually brings the whole history here, right? Mm-hmm. The breaking of the Luchas on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, and then another 40 years of...
40 days, right?
40 days, till we come to Matan Torah, which is our Matan Torah, Yom Kippur. After the second Matan Torah is the parasha of Yitro, of the Chiddush of Yitro, telling Moshe Rabbeinu that if you continue speaking to the people in this way, you directly teaching the people, you're going to be you're going to be makish yourself. You're going to wither away. And Moshe Rabbeinu accepts what he says. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who talks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, who the Torah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, made a mistake. What happened here? What's this teaching us? It's a very, very strange parsha. Kabbalah Satorah, right, is the parsha of a ger coming to Klal Yisrael. We received the Torah, he stayed with us, and then he went away afterwards, but he stayed with us, and then for Kabbalah Satorah, the second time after the breaking of the Luchot, he tells Moshe how he should be behaving with the people. What's happening? Okay, in order to understand, you have to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, his nevuah and his way with Klal Yisrael, his hanhaga with Klal Yisrael, remember we said from previous parashas, was already, he needed an intermediary. We needed Aaron to take them, to be his nevi'echa, to be his peh. Aaron represents, in a certain way, a different hanhaga for Moshe Rabbeinu. We spoke about this. Having a Talmidav Shel Aaron, whose Talmidav Shel Aaron is Hillel. Whose Talmidav of Moshe Rabbeinu? Shammai. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the clearness of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mashiach. He was the manik of Paris, who was going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael, bring us into Tchias HaMesim. We're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, the world's fixed. Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Yetziat Mitzrayim till now, there was a gap between Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu's Hanhaga. Moshe Rabbeinu's level was a level that Klal Yisrael weren't holding on. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach Klal Yisrael because he wanted to be Mani Klal Yisrael and he wanted to bring Klal Yisrael on his level. You with me?
Yeah.
After Yom Kippur, Klal Yisrael were not on the level of Luchot Rishonot, the first tablets. They were on the level of the second Luchot, the second tablets. What's the difference between the first tablets and the second tablets? The first tablets were Kulo Me'Hashem. They were all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second tablets were made by Moshe Rabbeinu and the writing was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a lower Darga, there was a lower level. The first tablets, Chazal say, there was no shichacha, there was no forgetting of Torah. To the extent the first tablets represented Torah's Moshe. Torah's Moshe, there was Torah Shebal Peh, but what's Torah Shebal Peh? When Moshe Rabbeinu said, you want us to put on tefillin? What's tefillin? So you ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's tefillin? Tefillin is a black box, square. Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, black, square. Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, or the Ritzot, whatever. But that's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Where do we learn that? We learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the get of Torah Shebal Peh by Moshe Rabbeinu. The get of Torah Shebal Peh of Moshe Rabbeinu was a perush on the Torah. He used to ask God, what does this mean? What is this tefillin? Kodesh Baruch Hu should tell him. It was without Yegiya. The Yegiya was in Moshe Rabbeinu reaching those heights. But after he reached those heights, the clarity of the Torah was clear. Baspachloria Meira. It was a clear understanding of the Torah. What does a ger represent? So let's explain. We have the side of Akum Chumash says who? Unklus. Who was Unklus? He was a ger. Interesting name. He didn't have a Jewish name.
It's a Greek name.
It's a Greek name, but he didn't have a Jewish. When he became a ger, they didn't give him a Jewish name. They probably has a Jewish name, right? He wasn't called Unklus. Probably had a Jewish name. Unklus was a name when he was a Roman. Chazal tell us that Unklus, this Unklus that we had, was given at Har Sinai. It's a Gemara Megillah. When Unklus came, he revealed that which was already given. It was lost from Klal Yisrael, and he revealed it.
Where is that saying?
That's a Gemara Megillah, Daf Gimel. Another thing. Who do we have Torah Shebal Peh from? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was Ben Gerim. here, what's happening in the Torah here? This concept of yeta parsha b'Torah, what does it mean he added a parsha in the Torah? Well, the Torah is incomplete without him? The concept of a ger, how do you get a ger? The concept of the ger, how do we understand a ger? A ger is a Jewish soul. That's why you call him Ben Avram. He's a Jewish soul that's hidden amongst the nations. And he finds himself. He reveals himself from that hidden place. He's hidden. There's a revelation. The ger coming back to reveal himself as a Jew is a revelation of something hidden. Since the concept of a ger is the revelation of something hidden, you with me, understanding? So the koach of a ger, the strength of a ger, is to reveal that which is hidden. That's the koach of a ger. So that's why Unklus revealed that which was hidden, which was lost. Rabbi Akiva was Ben Gerim. All our Torah Shabbal Peh came from Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, i.e. Rabbi Akiva himself. All our Torah Shabbal Peh, because he was Ben Gerim. Torah Shabbal Peh is to reveal the hiddenness of the Torah, so we understand of the Torah. So the concept of the Parshas Yitro, the concept that Yitro is yet a Parsha in the Torah, was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a different darga. Now that we have Luchot Shniot, Klal Yisrael are on a different darga. They can't hear Torah from you. You're too much on a high level. If you try and teach Klal Yisrael Torah, you're going to wither. And Klal Yisrael are going to wither with you as well. You're not on the level to teach them. You're too high level. You're not understanding. If someone comes, if you take someone who's a brilliant person and you tell him to teach in kindergarten, what's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to him? He's not going to talk to those people. The level he can talk to them is like nothing of what he can express. You understand? That's the concept also. Moshe Rabbeinu was Arel Sfatayim. We already saw that he couldn't speak to the people and bring them out of Egypt. They weren't listening to him. He was Arel Sfatayim. There was an Atima. What Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that he couldn't speak. It means that what he had inside him, he couldn't express fully. They couldn't come to expression with the people he had in front of him.
Right.
And that's why we'll see later on with the Chet, that he had the sin of the rock. How you call it? The sin of the rock?
Yeah.
When he hit the rock, he didn't speak to the rock. What do you mean you hit the rock and didn't speak to the rock? When you hit something, you're treating it like an animal. Mm-hmm. When you speak to someone, you're on his level. The Hanhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu, which represents the stick, was a stick of a hitting like an animal. Klaus were on a lower level. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, that was a sin that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come to Klaus, wasn't Manhi Klaus Yisrael. Because Klaus weren't on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were on the level of Luchot Shniot. Luchot Shniot is with Yegiyah. You have to add toil. Teresh Baal Peh is going to be with toil. It's not the Teresh Baal Peh of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the Teresh Baal Peh. Halach al Moshe Messina, I know. Our Teresh Baal Peh, we have to toil. We have kashas. We don't understand. Because we have blockages. Those are the kashas. The overcoming of those kashas through our creativity to understand the Torah, that's our Teresh Baal Peh. That's a different level. That's why Yitro was yet a parasha of the Torah. That's the revelation of Teresh Baal Peh. That's where the ger comes into it. So we're makdim Yitro to Teresh Bichtav to tell us that this is in our Torah. This is in the Torah we're shaykh to. This is Teresh Moshe. The Torah we're shaykh to, the Torah of Yitro, the Torah of Yom Kippur. You understand? That's the second Luchos. That's what it comes up. It comes up later on also in Parshas Mishpatim. They end up Mishpatim. It's a difference. You understand what I'm saying? Makes sense? Look at the Parsha which Yitro said. Vayome chotin Moshe elav. Yitro told him, Lo tov adava she'atah says, it's not good what you're doing. Navol tibol. You're going to wither away. Gamata, also you. Gama amaze, also these people. Ashem chach, which are with you. He can't speak to them. They're not on his level. Ki kaved mimcha adava. It's hard, heavy for you, the matter. Lo tuchal aseihu levadecha. You can't do it alone. Ata shema bekoli. Listen to my voice. Eyetzecha v'yi elokim imach. Heye atza la'am mul Elokim. You be against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ve'veta atza et advarim Elokim. And you bring it to God. Ve'zarta atem etem et ha'chukim. And you tell them the chukim v'ateres v'odatem lehem. Et ha'derech yilchuba, the way they should go. V'tamayse she'yasun, the big things. V'ata techazem mikol ha'am. Anshei chai, you bring to them anshei chai, yirei Elokim. Fearing God, anshei emes, people who are truthful, sonei batza, who hate bribes, v'samta aleihem sari alafim, judges of thousands, sari me'ot, v'sari chamishim, v'sari asarot, dargas, v'shavtu et ha'am b'chol et, and they'll judge the people all times, v'ya kol ha'davar gadol, yaviu elecha, all the big things will bring to you, v'kol ha'davar katon yishpetuhem, they will judge you, v'hakel me'alecha v'nasu itchach. And it will be easier for you, and you'll be able to lift this people. Vim aet adava azet taase v'tzivacha Elokim v'yachal ta'amod. You can stand. V'gam kol ha'am azet al mekomo yavo b'shalom. They'll come in peace. So Yitro is recognizing there's a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, and he's saying you can still be used. Put a level of people. Do gradations, and then you can stand, and then you can be. This is the way you can be a manik of the people. You can still be their manik by making these gradations. You understand what I'm saying? Because you could be on the top, and the people on your level will come, and the big things you can tell the people. But the people need people who are simpler, who are lower, to deal with all their issues. Clear? So, the explanation why the parasha are order, right? We have Yitro coming, right? And then after that, we're going back to what we just read, which is after Yom Kippur. And then we go back to the first Matan Torah.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's like completely out of order.
It's a quick fast forward.
Yeah.
A preview.
A quick preview. That means somehow this has to be known before Matan Torah. Why does it have to be known before Matan Torah? Why does it have to be known after the second Luchos before Matan Torah? Because Klal Yisrael weren't on the Daga before Matan Torah. In Matan Torah itself, Klal Yisrael weren't on the level of Matan Torah. That's why the golden calf, we're going to see what happened. This is a Gemara. The first statement of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the first Dibrot, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? All that. The first Dibrot of a Kodesh Baruch Hu was said by a Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, when Klal Yisrael heard the Dibros from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Parcha Nishmatam, their souls left them. And the angels brought back their souls to their bodies and reincarnated them. Klal Yisrael couldn't hold on that level. They couldn't hold on that level.
Of
the hearing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they asked for Moshe Rabbeinu, they asked for intermediary.
Right.
Had they, huh? That's a Gemara on Shabbos. I think Pei Zayin, or maybe around there, I'm not sure. Yes, maybe, I don't know. So Klal Yisrael asked, right? For Moshe Rabbeinu, for an intermediary. Because they couldn't be on the level of hearing that from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Had they heard it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Had they heard it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Klal Yisrael would have been fixed. Paska zumatan shon nachash, there would have no way they would have been the Chera Ego. We would have been fixed. The fact that we wanted to have an intermediary with Moshe Rabbeinu, that means Matan Torah didn't affect Klal Yisrael in the way it was supposed to. So now, if we understand this, so Klal Yisrael's level wasn't on the level of Matan Torah, so we weren't fixed. Even in Matan Torah, the not hearing of the Asarat HaDibrot from a Kodesh Baruch Hu showed that Klal Yisrael wasn't on the level of Matan Torah, and therefore, Lo Pask, the Zumatan Shanachash wasn't fixed completely, because it wasn't Tchias HaMesim like they should have been. So I said, why was it given if they weren't ready? Because why were they taken out of Egypt if they weren't ready? Because had they not been taken out of Egypt, they would have been no Klal Yisrael. Why were they given Torah? Because if you come out of Egypt, the whole purpose of coming out of Egypt is to receiving the Torah. It was the He had to come out of Egypt. The purpose of coming to Egypt was to receive Torah. That means we try to remove the purpose of Kabbalah of Torah. Torah was supposed to, and I have to explain a bit more. Why did Klal Yisrael go to the Midbar and fight Amalek and all these things before Kabbalah's Torah? Because Kabbalah's Torah is effectively the Yichud, the unity of Kodesh Baruch Hu to the world. Before Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to unify with the world, we have to remove all the Ra from the world. So Klal Yisrael had to go and destroy, to remove all the Ra in the world. It wasn't done completely. Since it wasn't done completely, Klal Yisrael weren't on the level to be receiving the Torah. But the Torah had to be given. And then the tachlis of Klal Yisrael after that was to reach the Dargo of Torah. Even still, maybe Klal Yisrael would reach the Dargo of Torah. Klal Yisrael had the Bechira not to listen to the Dibros. Had they listened to the Dibros, they would have gone through Tchias HaMesim. Because the Ra only existed in the world as much as it existed in Klal Yisrael. I explained beforehand that the Erev Rav that came with Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's Amcha, Chazal says it's Amcha, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's people. That was because we didn't clean up Mitzrayim of all the Kedusha, of all the lost souls were there. Those lost souls were still Mu'ura, were still mixed up within the Erev Rav. There was still a mixture of good and evil. So the Yetzirah, which the Gros says, so Shabbatis, who Yetzirah, the Gros says that's the Erev Rav. The Yetzirah was still, so to speak, in Klal Yisrael. The Ra was still in Klal Yisrael, and it needed a biru, it needed to be fixed. All right, so now your question was, why Dafka was Torah given in the Midbar? So first of all, the Midbar is a place, the wilderness is a place that there's no form. It's desolate. Torah coming to the world is giving form to the world. You can only give form to something which doesn't have form. So Dafka Torah has to be given in the Midbar because it's now giving a new form to the world. And also, that concept is, because the Torah was given in a place, right, that we still, the purpose of the Torah is to remove the Ra from the world. It's giving a form, but that form is giving a new form, which means any old form is removed. You understand what I'm saying? So any other form of connection is removed from the world. So Matan Torah had to be the form that was given to the world, which is God's connecting to the world, and there's no other connection. That's why the first Dibrot is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? Lo Yelecha, and there won't be any other gods. That's the first Dibrot. And that Dibrot was heard by Klal Yisrael, and clapping that Dibrot, and with regards to that Dibrot, we had Tchias HaMesim. In other words, that part of Klal Yisrael, anyone who loses that part of Klal Yisrael, somehow goes out of Klal Yisrael. That's a sign that he's not part of Klal Yisrael. He's a mumma. He's not part of Klal Yisrael. Right? It doesn't mean he's not Jewish. It means he's not... There's certain dinim that he has like a non-Jew. Why did Klal Yisrael, why did Klal Yisrael have to separate from a woman for 3 days? Obviously, the simple pshat is because of, Tumah V'Tahara, they have to be pure.
Right, that's Rosh's answer.
Yeah, but there's also a deeper answer. The connection to Torah is like the connection to a woman. So when you're connecting to your spiritual Torah, you can't be connecting to the physical wife. You understand? You're bringing on a new form. You're connecting to your Creator, bringing on a new form.
Can you explain that a little?
Okay. So the Gemara says here, Gemara Daf Kaf Beis in Bracha says, Hazavim Amatzarim, people who have Tuma, Ubayim Al Anidot, because of Tumas Nida, Mutarim lekro b'terem nivim k'suvim. They can learn Torah, but it should not be Mishnah. To learn Mishnah, Gemara, Balachas, Agadatas, Avabari Keri, a Bal Keri, that means someone who, has an issue, right? Asurim. So Rashi explains.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
I don't mean to deviate from Lashon Naki, but I don't think any of us...
But a person's connecting with his wife. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what it means. Okay. Kot me mutarim b'terem. שאף הם יכולים להיות באימה וברטט. They can all be with aimer, with fear and beretet. Torah, as it was given, with fear and beretet, so it has to be learnt in that way. Of a Baal Kri, someone who connects with his wife, right? Einu ele mitoch kalut rosh, through the lightness of head, v'zachut adat. And I don't translate it in the, like his removal of his das. Right? So it means connecting somehow with your wife is a removal of Ema and Retet. It's a removal. Zachos Adas and Kalos Rosh. You understand? That's what Chazal is saying, telling us here. So therefore, it can't be, it's connected Torah. So if this is the case, what do you have on the Aron? The Ramban said, they explained. On the Aron HaKodesh, you have what are called the cherubim, the kiruvim. The kiruvim is the place, and what do you have in the Aaron? The Aaron represents Torah. The luchot, the shivrei luchot, you have in the Aaron. What's on top of the kisui of the Aaron, the cover? You have these two cherubim.
Right.
What do these cherubim represent? A male and a female. Through, between these cherubim comes the divine presence. And when there's shalom between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu,
they face each other,
they connect like a male to a female, says the Ramban. Don't say this to Amoratzin, they won't understand what you're saying. So somehow we're saying that the connection that we have to Kodesh Baruch Hu is a connection of a man to a woman. What we're saying is, of course, marriage, kiddushin, right? That's holiness, to bring the physical into the reality, that's holiness. But when we're connecting to our Creator, you cannot connect to the physical at the same time. I would bring down, when we're learning a Gemara, you're not connecting to the physical, you're learning a Gemara. Right? If you're eating when you're learning, it's going to take away from your learning a little bit.
100%.
Right? If you're doing something physical when you're doing something sublime, it's going to take away from the sublime. You have to be at that moment sublime. You have to be at that moment high. Spiritually high. Spiritually high means somewhat disconnecting. When you daven, Chazal say, you daven, there's hitpashtus a goof. You remove from your goof somewhat. You're in a different world. You're in a different place. That doesn't mean you don't come back. The purpose of Torah is to bring it into the world. But connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is the opposite of connecting to the world. You're connecting for that moment, you're connecting above, and then you bring that which you connect to and you bring it down. But you can't connect physically and spiritually at the same time. You can't, like, you know, eat a meal and daven at the same time. It doesn't go.
Right?
Bruchi v'achle, you can't do it at the same time. You can't eat and make a bracha at the same time. It's Lashon the Gemara, right? You can't start eating while the food's in your mouth, make a bracha. No, your mouth has to be empty from the meal, and you start a bracha, and then you eat. You understand what I'm saying? That's just analogy. That's not the reason for it.
What is this talk about in the Emes Isharim, where like a person's kadosh, like all his physical actions are like spiritual actions? Like,
yeah. When a person relate, we're not Buddhists, we don't leave the world and stay there. When we daven, we're leaving the world to an extent. We're in the spiritual world. When learning, we're in a different world. But we bring down that world to us. We bring that down in our everyday actions. That world comes down to us. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you don't always want to separate yourself from the physical world, but there are times when you need to connect to Hashem that you do need to take a step back from the physical world so you can really have the pure connection. And after you have that, now you can infuse
that's it.
Uplift the physical actions to a
Yeah, way. That's why the Gemara says, what's more important, Torah or Maisa? The Gemara says Torah, which is bigger, Torah or Maisa? The Gemara says Torah is bigger, because Torah brings you to Maisa. That means the way it's done, says Rashi, V'nimsa shneim biyado, both come. The purpose of Torah is to bring you to Maisa, but that's the vehicle. We connect with our Creator through our Torah to bring it to Maisa, because that's what Torah is. Torah is when you bring the spiritual into the physical. Clear? Make sense? So now, we know we have 10 Dibros. We have Asara to Dibros. So obviously, Asara Mamrim Nivra Olam, with 10 Mamrim Nivra Olam. With 10 statements, the world was created. Right? The Mishnah says, why with 10? It could be created with less than 10. Right? Okay. So the Mishnah says to pay Schar Tov L'Tzadikim, there was Nivra with 10, and Piraon, and to give punishment to the Rishayim, there was, because it was Nivra with 10. Kodesh Baruch Hu took such a long time to create the world. So, what's the Pshat though? The Pshat is that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, 10 represents the completion. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in a complete way. Every aspect of the world is in creation. And every aspect of that world is how it has to be expressed. The world is, according to God, created with 10 mamrot, he created it in a complete way. And that complete way is expressed with the Asar Sedibros. That means, and the Gaonim come and explain how from these Asar Sedibros comes all of the Torah. The Shoroshim, the sources of Kol HaTorah Kula. That means, and there's piyutim, or I don't even say piyutim, poems of the of the Gaonim, which explain how each one, each mama, what mitzvahs come from each mama. That all 613 come from these 10 mamarim. Yeah? So now, when we're learning these 10 mamarim, we're learning foundations of Jewish faith. So, So the first Dibra, let's now take the first Dibra and just touch it, because obviously that's the shorish of everything. V'yedaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'elu le'mor. Anochi, I, Hashem Elokech, I am the Lord your God. Asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of the land of Egypt. Mi'beit avadim, from the house of slaves. Lo yelecha. Now there's a love. You shouldn't. First there's a mitzvah asa. Now there's a love. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim. You won't have other gods al panai, on my, literally my face, in front of me. Lo taselecha pesel. Let's start with this. Okay, I'll read it. Lo taselecha pesel. You shouldn't have a pesel. Like a form, a statue. That's the word. For cult muna and any picture, Asher b'shamayim mimal, from the heavens above, v'asher ba'aretz mitachem, from the lower world, from underneath, v'asher b'mayim mitachet la'aretz, and from the waters in the land, that's underneath the land, sorry. Lo tishtachaveh lehem, you shouldn't bow down to them, v'lo ta'avdem, and you shouldn't serve them. Ki anochi Hashem elokecha, I am the Lord your God, kel kana, I am a jealous God, Poked avon avot, I will play the sins of the fathers, al banim, on the children. Al shileshim v'avrivim l'sonai, on the third and the fourth generation of the people who hate me. V'oseh chesed l'arafim, and I'll do good to a thousand generations of lo'avai, v'l'shomer mitzvotai. Now, that's very, very strange here. First of all, the positive command is, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. Right? What's he telling you? I'm the Lord your God that took you out of Egypt. The same God that took you out of Egypt is me. So Rashi says an interesting thing. Kedai hi ha'utza'a, it's sufficient, this taking out of Egypt, shetiyu mishubadim li, that you should be serving me. Because I took you out of slavery, so now you're my slaves, now I own you. Okay, makes sense. Dava ache, fisher nigle b'yam kegibo milchama. He revealed himself in the Kriyas Yamsuf as a young man fighting. V'nigle kan kazokin male rachamim. He revealed himself here as an old man full of mercy. Shneema tachad raglav k'maisa libnat atzapir zu aita lefanav b'shat hashibud. Okay, we'll read this all, and basically that's the Rashi, right? Also, Rashi says, "Korat halbe." There were a lot of noises from all the ruchot. Umina shemayim mina aretz. Al tomru. Don't say reshuyot halbehe. Don't say there's many different forces in the world, right? It's all one source. Right. Okay. So now let's try and understand this. What's Rashi telling us? Remember, the concept of Egypt is what? He took us out of Egypt. He took us from the Shibud of Egypt, from the Shibud of the Eight Sahara, from the Ra in the world. He nullified the Ra in the world, and therefore, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Nullification of the Ra, nullification of the evil in a person, the evil in the world, can only be when you have Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha means you're my servants. You're only free of the Ra if you're a servant to something higher than you. That's the first Dibra. The first Dibra is, you're only, I am the Lord your God. That is which takes you out of Egypt. Mm. Being Meshubit to me is what takes you out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. That's the concept. The more you're Meshubit to me, the more you're an Eved to me, an Eved Ne'eman like Moshe Rabbeinu, the closer you are to be an Eved to me, that you're serving to me as a complete servant, the closer you are out of Egypt. The more you're out of Egypt, the more out of the Hashpa of the Ra, of your Yetzirah. That goes together. That's the concept.
Yeah.
Ein lecha ben chorim. You don't have a... Don't read charut al luchot. It was engraved on the luchot. Ela cherus. Free. Ein lecha ben chorim. Right? Ela mi she amal b'tera. Someone who's learning Torah. Who's amal b'tera. Twirling in Torah.
No,
what do you mean twirling in Torah? Yeah. What does it mean to be twirling in Torah? It means to be toiling and understanding God's will. To keep God's will. That's what it means. You understand? The more you toil in God's will to understand His will, to keep it, the more you're meshubit to His will. Torah is what's that? Torah and the shibut, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, is what removes us from Mitzrayim, from our own personal galus.